The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
B'chayres Daf Chov Gimel. The sugya continues, and now what we're going to do, Be'ez Hashem, is we're going to continue discussing some of the principles that we discussed in the previous shiur, Lagabi Bitul B'roiv, but we're going to come at it from a different angle, and let's see what maskanas we come out with. The Gemara discusses Legabe Bosa Nevela falling into Shchuta. Bosa Nevela fell into Shchuta. The din is that Nevela, if it's a minute amount, is bottled to the Shchuta. And still the Gemara says that even though you'd be allowed to eat it, not only would you be allowed to eat it, but even any piece you touch, you'd be Tohor, because the assumption Haloich Bosa Roiv, Bitul B'Roiv, is that you touched a piece of meat, which is Tohor. But if you picked up the whole taruvus, the whole pot, and you would noise it biyachad, there's something called tumas maso. Tumas maso is not the act of touching the individual piece, but it's carrying the whole thing. Since when you carry bechreach, that you're carrying in the pot of meat, you're carrying the piece that's tomei. So then the halacha is that that would be metad, the piece in the veil, that would be metamiyu, and you'd be tomei. What's the difference between mago and maso? The Kesem Mishnah in Perek Aleph Ovis HaTumah, that's where this halacha is, quotes the Mari Korkis. The Mari Korkis was one of the Gedolim of the generation before the Girish Svarad, and he wrote extensively on the Rambam, the Sefer Zeroim, in the Franco Rambam it's printed up. In other Svarim, the Kesem Mishnah, who was a child, Bashar's Girish Svarad, had the manuscript, he quotes the Mari Korkis extensively. And he quotes over there, the Hezber, of the Mari Korkis, the reason why there's a chil between Maga and Maso is because by Maga, you might be touching two pieces at once, and one of them for sure is Tomei. But in touch, theoretically, you could be touching one piece. Every touch of a distinct piece is a touch unto itself. So when you touch piece after piece after piece after piece, even though Behechrach, after touching 14 times, you touched for sure the piece that's Nevela, but each touch, Kishela Atzmai, has a Psaka Roiv behind it. Mashenga, when you pick up the whole thing, you pick up the whole Taruvs and you carry it all together, since Behechrach, in your Maisa Maso, by definition, carrying the Dovah Tomei, the Bitul B'Roiv doesn't help Lagabe that, because it's for sure off, it's for sure wrong. You're definitely carrying the Dovah Tomei over there, you'd be Mitame. Now, the truth of the matter is that Chilik is not only in Mago Masa, but more importantly, in the Issev Heter. How are you allowed to eat from the Taruvis? And the Halach is Bepashtus. You're allowed to eat the whole, when you have a whole pile of pieces in front of you, and there's one piece Nevela got mixed in the Shchuta, we say Bitul B'Roiv, Midrabonon, Yovish B'Yovish, we also say Bitul B'Roiv, you're allowed to eat all the pieces. The discussion between the Rishonim and Chulin in Davkov is only whether you're allowed to eat all of them in one helping, whether you should maybe not eat all of them, maybe you should take one piece and throw it out. This way it doesn't look border in front of us that you're eating a piece of favorite meat. That's Shitz Rishonim. That's L'chor only Dirabana. Bipashis Deraisa, that's through the Rishonim's consensus. You're allowed to eat the whole pot, the whole plate of food together. How could that be true? I behechrach, you're eating. So L'chor Toysus Be'os says what seems to be based on the same idea that we just quoted from the Mari Korkis, and he says that by Masa you're carrying the whole thing together. By Achila, even though theoretically you're eating the whole thing together, but in the Beis Ablia, at the point of contact with the person's throat, when it's called halakhically that he ate, the Maga Beis Ablia is with each drop of food separately. So you're not behechrach in eating, behechrach, you're not eating the pieces together, eating them separately. Halakhically, if we define the Maisa Achila, which would be awesome. So then the Bitul B'Roiv works. The Bitul B'Roiv only doesn't work where we look at the whole thing halakhically as one, where there's no Bitul B'Roiv on the whole thing. Now, the Svara is a good Svara. L'chor Bitul B'Roiv can't work on something. It can work on something when you know at the end of the day you definitely ate in the Vela, but not where it's one Achila, not where it's one Maisa HaMetame. That's the Svara. L'chor, the same way that Mari Korkis says over there, that the chil between Mag and Mas is only Durabonon, this distinction does not exist d'oraisa. The same is true, what we just said, Legabe the Achila, and Legabe, the chil between Achila and between Tumas Maga. And not only does it not seem does it seem that way, but it has to be that way. Rabbi Chanan asks a kasha in Kovitz Biurim. We quoted in the previous year. Rabbi Chanan has chaburus over here that was said in Baranovich on Bechoris that were printed up. It says the svara of Tosis is very nice that everything touches the base of Bli piece by piece. And that's why the Bittul Berov helps, only insofar we're talking about Teruvs Yavish B'Yavish. You have a plate, and you have 100 pieces. One of them was Nevela, but Lamaisa, it was inside of the Shkut, you allowed it all 100, because each one is touching the base of Bli separately. The Bittul Berov works, Lagabi, each one. There's no Stir Minei Bei. That's great. But what about Teruvs Lach B'Lach? Meaning to say, what happens where liquid of Nevela fell into, there's a mixture of liquid, when you're drinking the whole thing, or a pot of meat, where the heat absorbs, you're definitely eating in every piece, this bilo. The whole thing is mixed, saturated, absorbed with tam ho'iser. Why would it not be that that's called, you're definitely eating the iser? So l'chor should be the same thing as tumas nevelo, of maso, not of magra. So what do you have to say? L'chor, you have to say that this distinction is only d'rabbanon, mid'raisa. The distinction doesn't exist. You're mutter across the board. And b'meila, they only asked by mago masa. They didn't ask in achilo to be mechalik between achilo of lach balach and achilo of yovish b'yovish. Why would that be true? By the way, I don't know. Why not say there's a chumrah? Maybe like we discussed in the previous year, Choymer of Tumah V'Tayra. I don't know, but at least you could hear. It's only Midirabonon. Midiraisa, the distinction between where the Bittul Berov contains a inherent stirim in Eubay, something that inherently contradicts the Psak of the Roiv, whether that would be Mavatl, the Roiv or not, that Svar is only Dirabonon. So that would be Miyash of our Svar over here. There is, however, another svara that would open up a new world of possibility for us in defining and being able to paskin the right halacha in these dinim, and that's a chilik to define for ourselves a chilik between bittul yovish b'yovish and bittul lach b'lach. What do I mean to say? Our kasha was that the same way there's a chilik between maga and maso, because by Tumas Maso, inherently there's a stira, because you're going to have to violate the roiv because you're carrying everything together. And Memelo, that's why there is no Bittul Berov Lagabi Tumas Maso. And we said that chilik is derabonim. Why do we say that's derabonim? Because we had a problem. By Lach Balach, every Teruvus of Isser inherently has the same stira. And still we say Bittul Berov. Elamai, what are you going to say? That chilik is only derabonim. There's another address for this question, and that is, Rabbi Chanan explains, to say that there's a chilik between bittul yovish b'yovish and bittul lach b'lach. Bittul yovish b'yovish is a psak din. If I have 100 pieces of meat mixed together, I don't know which one is the one that's also, so I pick up any single one. Inherently, every single one has a roiv. I have a right to be samech on the roiv. Not only do I have a right to be samech on the roiv, but I have a right to eat ultimately all of them together, because each piece is a separate tzad. Each piece has its own Psak halacha, so the roiv works for all the pieces, and I could ultimately eat all of them. By lach b'lach, it's not that the iser, so to speak, I could assume that I'm eating from the head, like we said. You can't assume you're eating from that and not from the iser. By definition, when something is nis'ariv, with heat or liquid, I am eating from the iser. But the pshat is over there, halacha looks at the minute amount of iser that got mixed in, the roiv of heter was mevatel the iser, to the point where we look at it that halachically at least, b'mitzius it's not there. The whole vort, and this really goes back to what we discussed in the previous year, the whole vort that bittul beroiv means that be'etzem the iser is there. The halacha says that I'm allowed to eat from any piece, that's only true when we're talking about yavish b'yavish. But lach b'lach, first of all, I am eating from the iser, but the point of the bittul beroiv is that the whole thing is one conglomerate, it's one teruvus, it's one mix. The iser no longer has an identity by itself. The iser is bottled b'metzius to the point where it doesn't exist anymore. By the way, this l'chayra should prefigure into the svara of Chayza v'Neir. L'chayra, this should not be, by definition, the way we explained this year. The reason why this Chayza v'Neir is because it never became ois mitzius. It only became that in din I'm allowed to eat it, but b'mitzius it's still there. If we're right, then lach b'lach, the mitzius is not there. Now, it happens to be that choyz v'neir is by definition
by lach belach. So l'chor, this definition is incorrect. This is Rabbi Chon's kasha. So really, we have a tug of war between two svaras which sound correct, but they can't both be true to the nth degree. It can't be true that lach belach means that the isra is bottle agami, because if can, they wouldn't be chos v'neir. On the other hand, to say that lach belach is the same bittel as yovish b'yovish, it means choose a piece. The roif says choose that piece, it's okay. Can't be true by lach belach. Unless you're going to say that that svar really doesn't make a difference, that svar that when there's an inherent series only derabbanan, like we said, and then yovish biyovish and lach belach are midiraisa the same bittel, they work the same way, and the svar also that we said that balach belach becomes bottle b'metzias is only that svar is also incorrect. That would tell us that there is chayz v'nei. It would also tell us that the bittel b'roiv is the same balach belach yovish biyovish. And the reason why the inherent stira in the lach belach does not render the roiv obsolete is because Chazal weren't machmir in that case. It's a little bit iffy because the svaras are l'chayra correct. Not only that, but we're going to bring now in Yetz Hashem different dugmois of where we do see a chilik between teruvus yovish biyovish and teruvus lach belach. But before we bring a chilik, before we bring chilukim where we see that lach belach is a bittul metzias as opposed to yovish biyovish, we're going to bring a raya that inherently the bittul b'roiv has to work the same way, and there's the sugi which is a chorek matar raya mefureshes. The lach belach and yovish biyovish are not inherently two different principles; they both work the same way. Famous sheet of the Tana of Yehuda is that min b'mina is bottle. We hold that min b'mino is bottle, that let's say there is basa nevela and basa shchuta, the basa nevela falls into shchuta, it's bittul b'roiv. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino loy batli. Where do you have bittul? You have where chela falls into shuman, where chola falls into basa, and so on. But where basa falls into basa, min b'mino loy batli. What's the rationale? Because there's no time. If anything, the bittul should be easier to affect. The way we hold that bittul b'roiv and min b'mina works b'roiv and shaloi b'mina, because this time you need shishim. L'chayra, Rabbi Yehuda is connected as far. So the Ran explains in the Dorim, famous Ran, that what happens is when you mix a pile of meat, pieces of meat together, you're not absorbing the iser into the heter. What you're doing is you're just adding to the heter. When you take iser and you put it into heter, if it's something different, so it becomes absorbed, becomes non-significant, it becomes insignificant, because the roiv is that much more. When it's the same thing, it's mitzvah and it becomes part of the whole thing. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, we don't hold that way, but Rabbi Yehuda holds, since you're only being mechazik the roiv, so then the meat becomes part of the roiv, doesn't become batel adrab, it only adds to the roiv. It's awesome. Doesn't become bottle. Now, the Makor of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says in several places in Shas, is from a pasuk that talks about dama par v'dama soy. Interesting tzushta. It's a pasuk by mixing together the dam of the karbonis on Yom Kippur. They mix together, the Kohen Gadol mix together in one kli, the dam of the par, dam of the soy. And the reason why it was considered as if he spritz both types of dam is because it's min shaloi b'minoi, but if it's min b'minoi, there is no bittel. That's the Gemara learns that out according to Rabbi Yehuda, at least from Dama Par Dama Sor, that there is no bittel on a min b'minoi. Now, frektzach apash to shayla. Maybe that's only true when we're talking about Taruvus Lach Balach, because the whole thing is together. So we look at the whole thing as becoming one entity of a whole kli of dam, and one dam is mechazik the other because it just adds to the volume of the dam, which is the dam that was more, the dam apar. And in that case, that's why min b'minoi loibatli. Who says that if we're talking about pieces of meat, let's say by bas nevela and bas shkuta, if we're talking about pieces of meat that are yovish biyovish, that the same thing is true? It doesn't add. One piece of meat just means there's more pieces of meat. It adds. It's mechazik, the mixture. It's mechazik, the roif. It becomes part of the roif. It doesn't become part. It just means there's another piece of meat there. What's the tzushta b'chlal between lach b'lach and yovish biyovish? And Rabbi Yehuda is not mechalik. Rabbi Yehuda is talking deraisa. This would seem to indicate that at least according to the Tanner of Yehuda, But we can learn out for ourselves that the chil between lach bilach and yovish biyovish is non-existent on a deraisa level, the way we just said. If it would be existent on a deraisa level, l'chayr the tzushtal koin debido wouldn't be a tzushtal. Okay. That's a raya that the chilik is not deraisa. Like we said, the whole hechrach to be mechalik is because of our problem of the difference between magamas. And over there also we said that the chilik is only derabon. The problem, like we were magdim, is that there are several cases where we're trying to bring what would seem to indicate a chilik between bitl lach balach and bitl biyavish biyavish, and they use it in the context of deraisa. The first case where a rishon uses this chilik is a fascinating tzushtal. There's a Mordechai in the end of Chulin that talks about, the Gemara says, at the end of Yevamos, a Yevama, in order to perform Chalitza, in order to be Yotza Lashok, she has to do the Chalitza, which means she has to spit, take off the shoe of the Yevama and spit in front of him. If she spat, not spit, not roik, but she spat blood, the Gemara says, it's okay. You have to spit, not blood. The Gemara says it's not shaykh that she spat out blood, that there shouldn't be tzachtechos, there shouldn't be at least a drop of spittle in the blood. And there's no shear. Even a mashahu is considered a maisa of spitting. That's what the Gemara says. Frek de Mordechai, what happened to Roiv? She spat onto the floor in front of the Yovam. That's the maisa that she has to do. The Roiv of what she spat is blood, not spit. So you're right, there's something there. But what happened to Bittul Baroiv? Why not say Bittul Baroiv over there, L'chumro, to say that it's called she didn't spit? The Mishnah L'melech, in Perek Aleph Mehilchas Avos HaTumah, when he brings down this Mordechai, adds something very interesting. He says, well, what's the kasha of the Mordechai B'chlal? The Mordechai's answer, by the way, is something that's not a get us. It's an interesting yisoid that's worth knowing. The Mordechai answers that any taruvis which is me'ikroi, that means that it wasn't two things that got mixed up together, but the thing existed only in the form of teruvus. Over here she spat, it came out of her mouth, blood and spit together. It wasn't two things that became mixed up. Over there we don't say bitl, because that is the thing itself. He explains this, a beautiful tzushtel, to Dayanim and Abezdin. Why not say that he wants to know how exactly the bitl works by Dayanim? He says, L'cho'ira, there shouldn't be bitl, because the dayanim are meikara that way. The dayanim are there to give a daya, and the way the teruvus was set up was that way. How would the bitl work by dayanim? That's his discussion over there. In any case, the Mishnah Melech wants to know that l'cho'ira, if the blood and the spit is mixed up together, what do you mean bitl? What's the kasha of the Mordechai B'klal? If they're mixed up together, so then behechrach you're going to have both. If behechrach you're going to have both, there is no bitl. Isn't that the svara of mago? That by mago there is no bitl beroiv, it's tome. Because behechrach you're going to be carrying the davar tome, even though it's insignificant because it's absorbed into the majority, into the roiv. Says the Mishnah Lamelech that that's only by yovish biyovish. But by lach belach? By lach belach, it becomes bottle b'metzias. The spit becomes bottle b'metzias to the dam. That was the kasha of the Mordechai. So it seems that the Mishnah Melech is learning up in the Mordechai that this principle of lach b'galach being a bittle b'metzias, that's non-existent. It's not just a bittle in halacha, in din. It's not just a halachic bittle, but it's a... The reality is that thing doesn't exist anymore. That svar would work legabe de oiraisa. That's one rai. The Pesachei Tshuva in Yerudei Reish Tzadik Tes happens to discuss it in something else, which lechor happens to be also de oiraisa. He talks about it legabe pishton v'tzemer. Over there, there's a whole discussion. Normally, the context of bittel obviously is iser in heter. There's always something which halachically is X, halachically which is Y. What about if you have two things that are heter? Is heter beheter bottle? Now, why do I need to be mevatel heter beheter? So one thing that's discussed over there is pishton b'tzemer, where pishton b'tzemer, if it's mixed together, is shatnes, is klayim. What happens if the tzemer of wool of a sheep got mixed up in tzemer gemalim? The tzemer of the wool of the sheep is heter. Right now, it's not mixed together with pishton, and it got mixed up with tzemer of gemalim, which is also heter. It doesn't have an issa klayim b'chlal. would we say bittel, would we not say bittel? And the Pische Tshuva, the long Pische Tshuva, by the way, Cheshbin's out, is over there also Legabi Din, which the Chora Deiraisa. He says over there also that there's a chilik between, because we would have the same distinction between Yovish B'Yovish, the pieces of Tzemer and Pishton, as well as Balach Balach, let's say by milk. Let's say milk got absorbed into orange juice. The milk is mutter, the orange juice is mutter. The question is thereafter, you took that orange juice that has a drop of milk and you mixed it together with meat. Do we say that the milk already became absorbed into orange juice? It's bottle, so maybe you don't need shishim when it pours into the meat or not? That's a question, and legabe that bitl of heter beheter pischit tshuva says that there's a chilik, a fundamental chilik deraisa seemingly between yovish b'yovish and lach b'lach. So again, what we have over here is we have maybe certain places where we see that the chilik between yovish b'yovish and lach b'lach is deraisa. The lach b'lach is a bitl b'mitzius, and yovish b'yovish is a bitl in din. It happens to be that the hechrach to say that would be in order to understand how does teruvah's lach b'lach work by things that are mixed together with his inherent stira, which is the svar that we have mago maso. If, let's go back 2 steps, if we say that mago maso, the chilik between when there is an inherent stira and when there isn't an inherent stira is only dirabonon, so then our makor to be mechalik between lach b'lach and yovish b'yovish also would only be dirabonon. We prove that l'chayra, that distinction can't be deraisa from the Tanur of Yehuda, legabi dam par v'dam sor in min b'minoi, but we are leaving as a tzorchin that there are mekoros that seem to use this chilik of lach b'lach and yovish b'yovish, even in the realm, even on the level of dinim of bittul b'roiv deraisa. So we're going to leave that as a tzorchin, but at least the gedorim that we're discussing, the different criteria and the different fundamental applications of bittul b'roiv is clear. In finale, just to finish off what we started off in the previous year about, different applications of where taruv is yovish b'yovish, but at least, is not considered a bittul of the mitzius of the dvar isur, but it's a halachic status that right now you have a right to treat it as if it's mutter, but not necessarily that's bottle of season. We explained that that's really the guiding principle in how to set up the sugya of Chayz Vener, which is the sugya that we're learning over here in Bechayris. We'll just, for Mar Mekoymis Ba'alma, we'll just throw out another few Mar Mekoymis that the Achronim bring. There's a sugya of Tziporish Mishtalachas. The Mitzayra uses a bird that he uses as part of the purification, part of the process of Tahara. That bird, the Gemara discusses whether it's also Bahano after it goes through that process. The bird is sent away. And the Gemara discusses that it can't be that it's also Bahano, because in Cain, you're letting the bird out, and it's going to fly. Somebody's going to catch it and eat it. It's also Bahano. The Gemara says, Midereis, would the Torah tell you to put onto the face of planet Earth, put a mikshel, put a takolo? Now, it happens to be there's a bittul b'roiv, because the average bird that you catch, that you want to shek, you could assume, is not a tzipor ha-mishtalachas. I think it's pretty fair to say that roiv birds were not used in the tahara of a mitzayra. So you have bittul b'roiv. Why is it called a takola? It would seem that the mitzius of it is still a takola, even though in halacha you'd be allowed to use it. That's one. Rabbi Chanan points out an interesting halacha. What would be, let's say somebody would have a bunch of kelim, a bunch of utensils, one of them was Tomei, and they got mixed up, a bunch of plates, and one plate was Tomei, the other ones are Torah, it got mixed up. Your lemaisa, you're allowed to use, let's say, to eat truma, all of them, because it's a bit of a roiv. The plate that's Tomei becomes both of the plates that are Torah. Now, what happens if those plates were never toivled in the mikveh, they were made by a goy, they need tvilo, like every kli chodesh, you took them to a mikveh, you toivled all of them. So now you're allowed to use all of them. The one that became bottle, let's say thereafter you figured out which was the one that was tummy, became separated. Now, which means it now becomes tummy. Would we say that the tahara of the mikveh works? Why not? If you say that the status of it being a plate that's tummy was no longer there, then the mikveh can't be mitahara something that's tahar. And the halacha is that the tahara of the mikveh works. You put all of them in the mikveh in order to use all of them. This one happened to be not a new kli. It was tameh. So you would tevil in the mikveh. The tvila in the mikveh will work even for a non-existent, at least b'shas ha-tvila, status of tumah. How does that work? Obviously, be'etzem, b'koyach, the status of the tumah is still here. The fact that you're allowed to treat the plate as tor does not absolve it that bimitzius, it carries with it inherently its former status. That's a second makar. A third makar is chil meiser. Let's say a person has peiros that were meiser sheni and they fell into a pile of fruit that were chulin. The halach is that one could be mechalel onto mois peiros and meiser sheni in order not to have to take it up to Yerushalayim. You take the money up to Yerushalayim. Could the chil be chal on the peiros that were bottled? You're allowed to eat those fruit. But after the fruit gets separated and you're able, it's nikur zemizeh, which one is meiser? The halach is that it turns back into meiser. So what would we say, legabi, if b'shas meiser, when it was mutter to eat, I was mechal, the halach is that the chil is a chil. I, how could it be nischal, lechur, there is no kedushas meiser. Vaistois, it would seem, that there is kedushas meiser, even b'shas, that it was mutter. A fourth example is a korban oimer. The korban oimer is matir tvua. Comes the second day Pesach, the Korban Oimer, when it was brought, was matir all the chodosh that existed, all the tvua of that year, from the previous Korban Oimer. It's matir even that which was mixed into a pile of yoshon, where you were allowed to eat it, but still, it has enough of a status of chodosh, that the chalois heter of the Korban Oimer would be chal on it. So here we see examples where something inherently has its previous status halakhically, even though right now, because of the bittul, you're allowed to treat it as if it's not tome, as if it's not chodosh, as if it's not meiser sheni, and so on. It still be'etzem has that status, that whatever process you're going to do to take away that status would be chal, and it would be considered a legitimate process.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.